This morning we are going to get ready to watch a video in just a second. This morning's video is titled basically "The Lord is My Shepherd," and it's sort of a little bit centered around Psalm 23, but not completely. This morning it's a little shorter than the rest. It's only about 15 minutes long, where most of them are 25 or so minutes. So this morning one of the first things I want to do for us is pray for us, and then I do want us to read Psalm 23 out loud, and then we'll watch the video. And basically, I think that the theme would be, if I could describe it in a phrase this morning of what we're going to be watching, is the God of your life the God, or is it worry? We know that we live in a stressful time, but I believe since the beginning of history, it's always been stressful. Okay? I think as soon as sin entered in, stress and worry entered in. Okay? So this morning, as you watch this video, and like I always encourage you, if you have a bulletin, take you some notes, or if you want to write in a journal, or maybe write a little something down in the margins of your Bible, take some notes from Psalm 23, and then he's going to reference some other scripture, and then we'll talk about what God's put on your heart this morning. But I want to pray for us, and then let's look at Psalm 23, and Brian, I'm going to ask you to read Psalm 23 in just a moment, if you don't mind, to us. And we're going to read that out loud. And then we're going to do that. So let me pray for us, and then we'll ask Brian to read for us, and then we'll watch the video. Father, we bless you this morning. God, you're very good and very generous. And Father, you're watching over us. You're sovereign. Lord, nothing will ever change where you are in heaven. And God, you are sovereign over this earth too. And Lord, I know today that many of us need comfort in different ways. We need peace in different ways. Lord, you're able and available to do all and more than we need today. And so, Lord, I pray this time will be pleasing to you. We bless you, we honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Julie. Юля, если им надо найти так для кадра что-нибудь найти, мы можем
The ancient land of Israel is a testimony, an evidence, if you will, of the greatness of what God did in that country, a testimony to the truth of the words that we find in the pages of the Bible.
Thank you. Shukran, shukran. And that's homemade pita, people. That's not bakery pita. What they're looking like could be Sarah or Rebecca or Rachel. The costume has not changed much. The dark skin would be very close to what she looked like. You remember when God comes to visit Abraham and Abraham right away invites him to eat? Okay, you're experiencing the same hospitality. Oh, the tea.
The children of Israel or even the Jewish people of today, in many ways think of themselves as a desert people. A great deal of the imagery of the Bible comes out of their experience in the desert. The father of the Jewish people, Abraham, was a desert person, a Negev person. Moses, their lawgiver, lived and worked and led them in the desert. David, their king, was a shepherd and wandered in the desert before he became king. So it's appropriate, if we're to understand the imagery of the Bible, that we experience that part of the country which the Bible calls the wilderness.
We're sitting this morning on a hill in the area of Israel called the Negev. People that live in this area are called Bedouin. We're here this morning to talk a bit about Bedouin, and you see a flock of sheep here. The word Negev means south or dry. If you look around, you see several settlements in the distance at the base of all these hills. Those settlements, those camps are Bedouin. The Bedouin live a very similar lifestyle to what the early people in the Bible did. People like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And so we come here this morning to talk a little bit about the lifestyle of the people called the Bedouin. Maybe in the Bible we could refer to them more as Amalekites or Midianites. So much of the imagery of the Bible comes out of this country. The Israelite people thought of themselves as wilderness people, desert people. They thought of God as being the shepherd. They thought of themselves as being his sheep. They thought of Abraham, their founder, as being a shepherd, a man of the wilderness. Moses, the great lawgiver, was a man who lived in the wilderness, the desert south of here. David, the king, the one who founded their political state, was a shepherd. So a lot of the Bible's imagery comes out of this particular lifestyle. Now, I'd like to just share with you several things this morning, kind of reflecting on the Bible's image of shepherd from Psalm 23 and Jesus' words in the book of John and in other places that may help to really see the impact of what the shepherd and the shepherd lifestyle meant for these people. The first thing I'd like to have you just notice this morning is this flock of sheep over here. The shepherds are children. The two boys here that are walking ahead of the sheep are 11 and 13. And the two girls in the back are actually quite a bit younger than that. Now, to be sure, there's an adult male somewhere in the vicinity to kind of keep an eye on all this. But the shepherding work actually done mostly by children. Certainly, you can't say that adults never care for the sheep. That you even see today. But if you notice that observing these children who are carrying the sheep is the father, the sheep, the head of the group. He's up on the hill over here. And there's a biblical image of that too, because the Bible does talk about Jesus being the chief shepherd. And in a sense, those who are called to be leaders are what we call under shepherds. And some of you are leaders in big ways and little ways, and so you imitate what Jesus does as you lead others. But I have a question.
Ray, this place just, you know, makes me feel so much at home and reminds me of my boyhood. And, you know, because I did just what these kids are doing here, you know, as a youngster, taking care of my grandparents' flock of sheep. One thing I've come to learn about sheep and goats is that if you leave a flock of sheep just like those, if you kind of go away from them for a while and you're watching them at a distance, the goats will always be the ones to wander. They'll always stray off. And then the sheep will follow those goats. They'll break the flock apart. And that's why, at least in our country, there's always less amount of goats than there are sheep, so that doesn't happen too much.
Neat observation, and that brings up, of course, Jesus' parable about how the sheep and the goats are mixed, and then at the judgment day, the shepherd comes and he divides them and puts the goats one way and the sheep the other. And what Elmer just said is really neat, to think that even in our own experience, some of us have been goats. Sometimes some of us act like goats and divide the flock.
I like the idea of the under-shepherds. I think of us with children. I think of myself being an under-shepherd, and the sheep are my own children. And I think we need to constantly look for God for the direction that we will guide them. And then I like the idea that they look to your feet. You know, they recognize our voice, but they look at our feet for our example of what we do.
That's a wonderful image. I love that. I I think that's great to think of the opportunities you have to be an under-shepherd and how important it is for you to be like the shepherd. And that children watch your feet, your walk, your daily walk.
Ray, you've changed some of our images of what's said in Psalm 23. Can you comment on "My cup runneth over"?
Since you're talking about the sheep image and the sheep go to drink or to eat out of a trough when they're in a sheepfold, in a sense, by saying "my cup runs over," you could translate that as "my trough runs over." So you get this image of this large container that is so full that it actually runs over. The sheep listens to his voice, that is the shepherd. He calls his own by name and leads them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And then he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life for my sheep." So the image is, just like you're seeing out here in many ways, of the shepherd, God to us, Jesus to us, out in front, sheep following, the voice calling, and God saying, "This is the way." Now, I thought about that yesterday as we walked that beautiful Jericho road up toward Jerusalem. You know, in a sense, Jesus is walking the road, but he's out in front of his disciples, and he's saying, "Follow me." I don't know how often he looked back to see if they were or not, but at that point, the option was theirs. So we're talking about God giving us the responsibility of affecting and shaping our culture, and what you need to see Jesus doing is Jesus is out there walking ahead and saying, "Here's the battle plan. You have to go out there and very simply give yourself to other people in love and meekness and humbleness and all of those things that we've talked about." And he says, "Follow me. Follow me." And there he goes. I had a Jewish rabbi say to me one time that God walks ahead of us and we have to look at his feet. And he said, you know, when the Israelites were in the desert, they thought of the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire as God's feet. And the Hebrew says, "And the pillar of fire walked ahead of them." And so they really did think of those as God's feet. And then there's the reference in Revelation where the Son of Man comes on the clouds of glory, and lo and behold, his feet, his legs, looked like a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. So even in the New Testament, there's that image that God's feet are out there ahead of us, and as we're down eating the grass, we just kind of keep our eyes up enough to see his feet. You feel the very cool breeze coming from the west this morning off the Mediterranean, and that cool breeze carries moisture. And as that moisture goes down into the ground, you begin to get grass growing. In the Psalm, when the Bible says, "The Lord leads me into green pastures," what you see in front of you are the green pastures of the shepherd. And that's not an exaggeration. I had always pictured the green pastures as belly-deep alfalfa. So when God takes me as his sheep, he plunks me down and I've got everything I need for the rest of my life. But if you think about it, that's not what life is like. The shepherd finds enough grass so that they can fill their mouth right now. The reason those sheep aren't worried about this afternoon is because they know their shepherd always knows where the grass is for this afternoon. And so if I pick up this image, what God says to me is, "I'll give you what you need right now." Worry is to deal with tomorrow's problems without tomorrow's green pastures. But you're not going to get tomorrow's green pastures till tomorrow. Now that was a life-transforming concept for me as I began to discover that in this culture, because for me, I was a person who spent a lot of time worrying about tomorrow. Still am. But maybe less so now, because I realize God says, "I'll give you what you need right now. We're all doing fine. We got enough to eat. We're healthy. Things are fine. I don't know what's going to happen an hour from now." But God says, "Don't worry. When it gets here, I'm your shepherd, and I know where the pastures are." Just over a week ago, you know, my mother was killed, and my first instant reaction was, "There's no way. There's no way I can complete this assignment that God has given." And it just came back to me that Psalm 23 was the answer. I needed to deal with each moment and to say, God, I can't think about going to Israel in a week. It's too big. It's something I can't handle. So give me the green pastures for right now. And he did. Jesus tells a parable about the 99 sheep. And one of them wanders away. And there are two dangers when the one wanders away from the other 99. One is, if you lose track of the shepherd, you could die for lack of something to eat. And those huge cliffs, wandering away from the shepherd is an extremely dangerous option. You could very easily fall, very easily be seriously hurt. The Bible also says God leads me to quiet water. Now, in this particular country, and you can see some of them over there, they have a phenomenon called wadis. And it rains up in those mountains. The farther you go, the more it rains. You can get heavy rainstorms in those mountains, and suddenly the mountains can't absorb enough water, and that water will come rushing down these canyons. Some goes to the east, to the Dead Sea, some to the south, down into this valley and out into the Negev. Well, the sheep have a tendency to go down in those wadis looking for water, because often there are pools of water trapped in the wadi. But that's dangerous, because while you're getting a drink of that water, it could end up killing you. Quiet water is water that is peaceful, not dangerous, not something that's going to hurt you, not something that's going to create a problem for you. So God says, follow me, and I'll show you the quiet water. I'll show you what's safe. I'll show you what's good. There's a tendency sometimes, I think, to satisfy that thirst for life in ways that are potentially very dangerous. And God says, you know, be thirsty, that's wonderful, but let me show you what's good water. We climbed down into the wadi, and we found the acacia trees, just as the Bible describes. We're just about down to the Dead Sea. We're in the bottom of a wadi, so you have to imagine during a rainstorm or a flood, this thing would be full of water, maybe 4 or 5 feet deep. Happened a couple times a year. Normally, in this area, shrubs and trees grow very short. You can look on these hills and see almost nothing growing. But if you get a place where occasionally there's some water like this, all of a sudden this tree will grow. And that's the image in the Psalms of a tree planted by streams of water. And the thought is, you can't see the water, but you know there's water because of the size of the tree. So in the life of a person, the idea is someone may not see you rooted in the water of God, but they can tell by who you are and how you live that your roots are in the water. And the proof is not that you can see the water, the proof is what you're like.
I can't speak for you guys, but there are days in a row that I need to watch that video. There are days in a row that I need to be reminded of all those points. And Kenny, I don't know if you were laughing at what I was laughing at, but at the end there, when he's talking and the shepherd's leading the donkey by, there was an imagery there that I was thinking, yeah, I think there's lots of days I'm like that donkey. But I'm not willing to be led by the shepherd as easily as that one was being led. I do want to hear from you guys this morning, of course, because this is very interactive. But I want to read back to you what he said about worry, because I thought that was excellent. He said, worry is to deal with tomorrow's problems without tomorrow's green pastures. You can't have the green pastures of tomorrow until tomorrow gets here. And how often in our culture do we want it now? We want it quickly and we want it easy. But yet it's such a contrast, isn't it? We have trouble in our culture living in the now, wouldn't you agree? Living in the today, the moment. I mean, how many of you right now, you're thinking about this afternoon, you're thinking about what you need to get done before tomorrow morning comes when you go to work or do what you're going to do, instead of living in the now and hearing what God has to say to us right now, right where we are. And I just thought that was excellent, that worry is to deal with tomorrow's problems without tomorrow's green pastures. Then an imagery is so good. The other thing I want to point out to you is, remember that the scene where he's walking along the Jericho road and it was very rocky and very steep? He didn't say this, but I believe part of that visual reminder is this. Jesus reminds us in the New Testament that the narrow path, few will find it. That the broad way leads to destruction, but the narrow path, if you'll follow the voice of the shepherd, leads to life and life everlasting. So not only was it a sharp drop and rocky and kind of dangerous, and we do have to keep our eyes on the feet of the shepherd as he follows, but what happens when we lose sight? How quickly we go off the cliff and how quickly we get caught up in fear. I mean, did you notice something towards the end of the video, off in the distance when the shepherd had the donkey and he was turning a little bit? Did you notice that the whole flock was already beginning to turn? I did not see the shepherd turn back. He walked to where he knew they needed to go, and they followed. And in fact, I didn't even see any green pasture. I've watched that video like four or five times. I'm thinking, where was the green grass? The shepherd knew. The shepherd knew. And I believe a good point for us to remember is this. Somewhere around there was an adult male watching all this going on. So even if the under-shepherd, us, were having a little trouble finding green pasture, I believe that under-shepherd could have turned to the male adult and said, hey, I'm having some trouble. Tell me from your vantage point where the green grass is so I can take the sheep. So taking in context where he reminded us that we are the under-shepherds, because the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, on a regular basis, are we leading people to God or away from God? Are we leading them towards the shepherd or away from the shepherd? So that's a few points I have to start us with this morning. What did God speak to you this morning through that video? It reminds me of the cup runneth over, or the trough is full in the imagery. Is this, remember the Lord's Prayer? Give us our day, our daily bread. To ask for each day, trusting that God's going to provide. Yeah, I think that's sometimes very hard in our culture, because for most of us sitting here, we're very blessed in a lot of ways, but when it comes down to practical day-to-day, literally eating bread, eating daily, most of us, well, we do pretty well, don't we? I mean, we do pretty good. I think that's, I was thinking about this this past Thanksgiving, is that for most of us, Thanksgiving, that feast, has kind of lost some of that feast part, because every day, I mean, hey, at 2 o'clock, we can go over to John and Tina's. They have a feast every Sunday at 2 o'clock. Probably wasn't supposed to, all of you know that by now, okay? And if it's somebody's birthday, they even have special cakes, okay? But what I mean by that is none of us probably have gone very long without. The without. And I remember years ago hearing, Masako's not here this morning, but hearing Masako's daughter-in-law, when they were on the mission field in Africa, literally talking about praying for rain, because if the rain didn't come, the crops weren't going to grow and they weren't going to have any food. That is a concept, guys, that I think is very difficult for us to grasp. That if it's not given daily, oh well, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. But God is giving us. But let me ask you them. What is God saying He will give us daily? Practically speaking, I know we could say food. I'm going past food right now. I mean, what is it? Our cup runneth over. Daily, today. What is God saying to us, His church, today, right now, February the 5th, 2012? What is God desiring to give us, His church, today? What do you think? Would you say, Forrest? Spiritual leading, okay. Guidance, I agree. What else? Pouring His love into our hearts, yeah. What else? Provide everything, okay. What I'm trying to get us to think about is this, is I don't want us to think just about the practical needs. The roof over our head, the food that we're going to eat, the clothing, yes. But Jesus told us in Matthew, don't worry about those things. Don't be so shallow. Get past that. Get some depth to you. Get some meat to your relationship with me. And I want us to be challenged by that, because it's not easy. It's not easy, but I'm telling you, God is challenging His church in America to get some depth to us. Not just to sing the songs. Or not to sit there and say, well, I wish Kenny had picked out such and such. get some depth to us. You're easy to blame. Well, we'll do what we usually do. We'll blame Gary. It's easier to blame Gary. We'll blame both of them. But get some depth to us. You know, get some maturity to us. And I think that's what he's trying to provide. I agree, spiritual leading and love and the practical needs. But I'm telling you, one of the things is find some deep water and get to growing. Because do you remember what Ray said? Which, isn't it kind of touching? His mother, I can't remember now, but because this is one of the first videos, this is one of the earlier videos, but his mom died suddenly. And this trip was already planned. And he still led it over there. I believe that water analogy, remember he said if you looked up on the hills and they didn't really swing the camera on there, but some of those bushes were little. The ones that were away from the deeper water, it didn't grow very much. And I know in the New Testament the analogy is a milk, an infant with milk, but the imagery in the Old Testament a lot of times is how have we been in the water and what kind of water. I want you to pick up real quick. He was saying that there's loud water, rushing water, but that water is dangerous. That's animals wouldn't have drank from that water because they couldn't have heard the enemy, but they also couldn't have heard the shepherd's voice. And so they needed to find quiet water, a quiet place, so they could hear the shepherd. So if the danger was coming, they could hear it, but they could hear the shepherd's voice. We really do have the rest of the story, don't we? And we know the outcome of this. The in-between we don't know all of, and that's where we get the worry part. That's where we start looking for green pastures all over the place. And our world will offer a lot of green pastures, won't it? There's a lot of people lined up to sell us something. Okay. Oh, and I'm glad you talked about that, Kenny. Because one of the things I want to point out to you is Hebrew people are very nomadic, and that's their history. But because they look to that time of Abraham so much, you remember in the New Testament it talks about Abraham living in tents, looking for a city? Okay. That's still the way they live. Even if they live in a city, they are still looking to that future Messiah. And I know you know that. But one of the things I want to stress to you is that they have missed the salvation of the Messiah while they're looking to the future so much. Point being is we can get caught up in looking to the future so much that we miss what God's doing in our lives right now. Right now. In fact, they look to it so much. I was talking to a lady 3 weeks ago that just returned from Israel. She was over there for approximately 3 months. And you can actually go to Jerusalem. I don't know if it's in the old city or the new city. She didn't say. But you can go to a place, a building, a warehouse type of deal where, too long to describe this, and probably no one really knows the difference. There are very different sects of S-E-C-T-S of Jewish people. You got Orthodox, you've got New Orthodox, you've just got all kinds of different. One of those groups, and I believe it's the Orthodox group, has bought a warehouse. And you can go in it because they are collecting everything for the building of the temple. There's only one thing they're missing. Jeopardy trivia time. Anybody want to guess what they're missing before they start rebuilding it? Ark of the Covenant. What'd you say, John? Well, they're okay with that. They're looking for the Ark. They're searching for the Ark. I don't know if this group believes in that. I'd have to verify with this lady to see if they believe in that. But they have everything else. They have the menorah candles, and they're in gold, and they're behind the glass, and you can look at them. Can't touch them, but you can look at them. They have all the priestly robes. They are ready to go. But think about something. They are more concerned about building the temple than they are about the Messiah who is already here. And so I think that's a challenge that sounds easy for us today as we sit here, but when we get back out there into the race, it gets tough, doesn't it? It gets tough at times. What else stood out to you guys in this video today? Yeah, I was talking to your son on Friday, and I was asking him about going to Windy Gap. It's a Young Life camp in North Carolina. I said, what did you take away from Windy Gap? He said, well, one thing that took away from is one of the speakers talked about, if you hang out with fools, you'll be a fool. I said, that's good advice. I said, but do you ever ask yourself something? Are you the one they're hanging out with? Or, you know, but I wasn't pointing at him directly. I was just saying for all of us, you know, that's good advice, but have you ever thought about which category you're in. It's kind of a sheep-goats analogy. And I had never heard that either. I'll turn to my David and my dad. You ever heard that before about if you have too many goats that they hurt the rest of them? I never heard that. Dale, you ever heard that? I had never heard that before either, that too many goats basically ruin the flock. That's right. And you know what's interesting is in that flock, there were some goats, but it was hard to see them. Hard to see them. What else? Yeah, we're talking about the tree in deep water. I'd hate to have been in that valley when those waters started gushing down, though. Shows us something else, too, isn't it? When life starts gushing us, we better have some deep roots. Right? Because what he described was, is when that wadi, that water comes rushing off that hill, those trees better be ready to hang on. You know, I read a few years ago, about 10 years before that, out in, I believe it was Arizona or California, they built an enclosed dome and they sent some guys, they volunteered to live in this dome for like 6 months. And they grew trees, it was like a ecosystem kind of deal. And they realized something. They grew trees and everything, but it was enclosed. The trees never felt any wind. You could go up and just push the trees over because their roots stayed on top of the ground. Big trees, because there was no root system. The trees, as they were growing, had no adversity, had nothing pushing against them, so their roots stayed shallow. So the roots would, the trees, large trees, could easily be pushed over because they didn't have anything. They had no reason to grow deep and stay strong. So another example of, is there any depth to your relationship with God the Father, the Shepherd? You know what I wonder when I've seen that same thought, and as I thought about that, I thought, when they edited that, was that intentional? I mean, did they want us to pick up on the donkey going behind in the background, that subtle message? That subtle message, you know? Because that video, I mean, when they're there teaching in those sites, they're there for a while. Okay, we're just seeing small snippets of what he taught them right there. Okay? One other thing I do want to point out to us that I believe is very strong is this. We have a tendency, I believe, as Christians in America, to look at wilderness or desert time as a negative thing, when I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Some negative things can happen in the desert, yes. But I don't believe God has those times necessarily as punishment or as a time where we look at as with dread. Jesus went there for 40 days and flourished afterwards. Flourished. Yes, they're not always pleasant. They're not always for 40 days. They could be a lot longer. They could be for 40 years. Now, if they're 40 years, I'm personally hoping that God doesn't tell me, okay, start marking off 40 years from this point forward. I'd just rather not know. But I want to stress that to us because we can get caught up so easily in thinking, well, we're in the wilderness, we're in the desert. This is going to be a tough time. Yes, it might be tough. But if we can truly realize the preciousness of hearing the shepherd's voice, don't you love it when you know God's spoken to you, even if it's not something you wanted to hear? The preciousness of hearing the voice of God. And I see those people, and I think of the nation of Israel today, and I think of us. And I sometimes wonder, are we really living in the lusciousness that we believe we're living in? Or is this really a desert time? But we've grown accustomed to it, and we think, this is it. And God's saying, no, it's not. There's so much more. Living in the more. No pun intended. But I see those sheep wandering around that little desert out there. And that was real time. I mean, that was now, guys. Looking for a small patch of grass. And you know one thing, too, is if we'll eat as God tells us to eat, we will be neither skinny nor overweight. We thought about that lately? As we eat, as He feeds us, just like Goldilocks would have said, just right. That's a challenge, I think, for us today. have some depth to us, be mature, grow up, not be worried or anxious about the future or nor tomorrow. But are we hearing the voice of the shepherd? It does say in Psalm 1, verse 3, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." I start in verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Strongly encourage you this morning, challenge you. Are you like that tree? Are you like that tree? You know something too, no matter how bad that tree wants some water, it can't go get it, can it? It has to wait, doesn't it? Man, do we hate waiting. Can't stand waiting. Well, I hope as you read Psalm 23 in the future, today, whenever you might read it, that you think about that, those verses and what we discussed today, because it's all appropriate and it's all timely. I believe there are things that we discuss here on Sunday morning, that we share at the 11 o'clock, we share in conversation between, that we need for the coming week. We just don't know we need it yet. God is preparing us for what's ahead, and that might just be this afternoon. Okay? Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for speaking. You know, God, I pray that it wouldn't just fall to the ground. Or if it falls on the ground, may it find fertile soil to grow and produce a harvest, an abundant harvest for the kingdom. Because God, when it comes back down to it, it's really not all about us, it's all about you. And Lord, I thank you today that you never give up, that you are faithful. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.